When we pray, we're talking to a personal, loving, caring Father who invites us to come anytime and share any concern with Him or any joy with Him. Prayer is very, very personal and intimate. And so I don't want so much through the course of this series to just pile on the duties and the regulations. You'd better do this or you're failing in prayer. You'd better pray this long. You better pray these words. No, what I want hopefully to do is for all of us to grow in delighting in prayer. That we would want to pray, that we would enjoy praying, that we would see the pleasure of being able to personally relate and commune in fellowship with God in heaven. Bill Hybels has a little book called Too Busy Not to Pray. You know, sometimes we think, man, I'm so busy, I just don't have time to pray. Well, he says, no, you're too busy not to pray. You need to stop what you're doing and spend some time with the Lord. And he says this in his opening chapter, as you grow in prayer, God will reveal more of Himself to you, breathing more of His life into your spirit. Mark my words, that will be the most fulfilling and rewarding part of your experience with prayer. More so even than the answers to prayer that you are sure to receive. Fellowship with God. Trust. Confidence. Peace. Relief. These are wonderful feelings that will be yours as you learn how to pray. Who is it that you enjoy spending time with here on this earth? Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, a parent, a best friend. You know what it's like to have somebody you love and it just seems like time flies and you lose track of time. Oh, wow, is it already that late? I didn't even realize. You just love to spend time with them. You love to talk with them. You love to listen to them. You love to be together. And that's what God wants prayer to be. Not just a duty and a ritual that we have to go through and get this checked off of our list so we can be good Christians, but something that we just enjoy being with God, spending time with God, talking with God, walking with God as Moses did and talked with God as a man does face to face. That's what prayer is about. It's a personal thing. Well, we see that prayer is also preparatory. Prayer is preparatory. The idea there is that Jesus, as He prays in the Gospels, often pauses to pray at special, strategic, important moments in His life and His ministry. He would pray to prepare for something big that was about to happen. You say, well, what kinds of things did Jesus pray before? Well, one of them was at the very outset of His ministry. Turn over, if you would, to Luke chapter 3. Look at how Jesus prays to prepare for His public ministry in Luke chapter 3. Down in verse 31, John the Baptist is along the shore of the Jordan River. Jesus Christ appears there before John. Jesus asks to be baptized by John. And then verse 21 says, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, I never noticed this before, and was praying, then the heavens were opened. So Jesus not only has just been baptized and come out of the water, but He's praying to God the Father. And then it says in verse 21, the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit descends on Him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, here's the Father now talking to the Son, you are My beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Jesus prays to God the Father right after being baptized, as He begins His public ministry, and we know that the very next thing that happens, as described in chapter 4, is that Jesus is about to go out into the wilderness, right? For 40 days, He's going to fast and pray and be tempted and overcome what the first Adam failed to do. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden failed when he was tempted by the serpent. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, despite a much more difficult task, a much deeper temptation than the first Adam had faced, the second Adam, who's Jesus Christ, represented us by having victory over Satan and saying no and quoting Scripture. And all of that was possible because the Spirit of God was inside of Jesus Christ and because Jesus prayed at the very beginning of His ministry. And God the Father said, you're My beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Look a few chapters later, Luke chapter 6. Another key juncture in the ministry of Jesus is when he's preparing to call his disciples. And in Luke chapter 6, we see that before he selects the 12, he spends some time with God in prayer. It's a preparatory activity of praying to God, asking for wisdom, seeking the right people that he should choose to be among the 12 apostles. Luke 6 verse 12, it says, "In these days Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." But don't miss verse 13. "And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." Just like Jesus prayed during his baptism, just like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, he spent a night in prayer on the mountaintop before he called those 12. And he descended from that mountain that morning, and he said, "I want you to follow me and become fishers of men." And he was confident of the men that God had appointed to that task of being his disciples and his apostles. Well, for us as well, friends, prayer is to be preparatory. Prayer is something that we should get in the habit of doing before we make decisions in life. I would encourage you, for those who are young and who are getting to that age where you're starting to think about dating, courtship, marriage, boy, you talk to God and you pray to God. And parents, you pray for your kids as they start to get out there and move toward that stage in life, that they would make a wise and godly decision about the man or woman that they would marry. Prayer should be preparatory, and marriage should be immersed in prayer as you make that kind of a decision, a lifelong and shaping decision. Those who are married, thinking about having children, you pray to the Lord about the wisdom of God's timing of when you should have kids, how many kids you should have, how that you'll raise them to honor the Lord. Pray for those children as they begin to grow and as they mature. Pray for your kids. If you're thinking about changing jobs or accepting a promotion, don't just make a rash, quick decision about this and look just at the financial ramifications, but pray to God and ask for His guidance. Pray that He will give you clarity in what decision that you make about that. You know, there's a story told back in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 9. You remember that the Israelites, they marched into the promised land. They took Jericho without even having to put up a fight. All they had to do was march around the walls for 7 days. They shouted and they cheered and they blew their trumpets, and God caused the walls to fall down. They went in and they took over the city. Bob's excited because he's teaching through the book of Joshua. Starts back up in September, right? So you can learn more about the story of Joshua and the conquest of Canaan. It says that there's a great victory there in Jericho. After that, of course, we know that there's some disobedience. Achan steals some of the wealth and God punishes them, but then they repent and they have victory in Ai. Well, apparently there's a group of people who live in a town called Gibeon. And these Gibeonites are starting to catch on, and they realize, you know, let's see. First of all, Israel conquered Jericho. Then they conquered Ai. We happen to be next on the map, and they're probably going to conquer us too. So what they decided to do is to put on ragged, dirty clothes, to gather all the moldy food that they could find, and to kind of limp their way to Joshua and say, "Oh, we're from a faraway land. Would you make a covenant with us and have peace with us?" And it says in Joshua chapter 9 verse 14 that the men of Israel did not ask counsel from the Lord. They did not pause and pray and say, "God, is this your will for us to enter into covenant with these Gibeonites?" And so what they did is they saw from a surface that it looked right. It looked like these people were from far away, and the nice thing to do would be to enter into covenant with them. And so what the Gibeonites did is they became slaves to Israel, but this was not God's will. God's will was for Israel to go in and eradicate all of the immorality, all of the idolatry, and to bring all the people into submission under his kingdom. The people didn't pause to ask counsel from the Lord. Let's make sure before we make decisions in life that we would see prayer as something that's preparatory to help us in making wise decisions. Like James 1 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And God will give to you generously. And I know even with Janet, you know, we've been praying for wisdom for you and you've been seeking the Lord. Lord, where do you want me to go? The door seems to be closing here in China. Where would you have me to go next? Here's where my heart is, Lord. That would be my desire. But if you have another will and another plan, would you reveal that to me? Take care of my needs. You know, she's been praying and asking for the Lord to be clear in his direction. We're so thankful that he has done that and really given you the desire of your heart in that. So we'll be praying as you go along your way. Prayer is preparatory. See, prayer is sort of, let that be your reflex reaction when you have a decision to make, small or large. Just lift up a prayer to the Lord to ask for strength and help and wisdom. Prayer is also persistent. Prayer is persistent. Time won't allow us, but there's a parable told in Luke chapter 18 about a widow who has to go to the judge. And this judge apparently is kind of a cruel, heartless, unjust judge. The widow comes pleading for mercy and for help from some adversary that's persecuting her. And the judge just completely ignores the woman. Jesus says that finally, the judge relents only because the widow kept on bothering the man. And then Jesus says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The whole idea there is that if an unjust judge would even give in and finally listen and to give the wishes of the widow, if a corrupt leader would do that, how much more would a loving father do that for his children? But Jesus says, be persistent. Pray day and night. And when you pray the first time and the second time and the third time and it seems like the heavens are bronze and your prayer is not getting through, where is God? Why doesn't he answer? You persist in humility. Pray boldly to God. Keep asking him because God hears and he's glorified. And what he's doing is he's taking away all of this pride and self-reliance and thinking we can do it in our own strength. And he's crushing us, bringing us to our knees to realize we've got to be dependent upon God. And often God will bless by answering. Sometimes he'll say yes to our prayers. We know other times he says, no, son, no, daughter, that's not right. It's not the right time. Or that wouldn't be best for you, or it wouldn't be for my glory. Sometimes God says no, but he says persist in prayer, and often he will give generously if we wait upon his time. Well, we've seen that prayer is private, but it's also public. It's personal. It's persistent. It's preparatory. But there's one final description of prayer that we see from the life of Jesus, and that is that prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. As we saw in the opening story, that God has the power to shut up the heavens and turn off the rain. And he also has the power to open the floodgates of heaven and to pour the rain down. God has the power to harden a heart. God has the power to soften a heart and pull back the scales and to change a person's heart so that they trust in Jesus Christ. God has the power to provide for your needs. God has the power to supply your peace. He can do anything that he needs to do if you would ask him. Realize that God is a powerful God. It says in Matthew chapter 21, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, cursing the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now obviously the important reminder that we have to make is that our prayers must be in Jesus' name. Not just that we add that as a tagline to a formula of prayer, but that we're saying that we do this on behalf of Christ, we do it in the name of Christ, through the power of Christ, through his work of salvation, through His intercession for us. We do it in the name of Jesus and by His authority, but we also, friends, have to do it according to the will of God. We have to pray, if the Lord wills, would you do this? So we can pray with bold faith, but it's a faith also that's praying humbly and submissively, Lord, if your will is, would you allow this to happen? That's why it says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have toward Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Well, I would just close, friends, by asking, how is your prayer life? How are you doing? I know one of the goals in this series for me is to grow in my own prayer life with the Lord. And I'm excited, but I'm scared to death. You know what I mean? I want to hear God speak about this. I want Him to grow me in this area, but I'm kind of terrified of the sin He's going to show in my heart and the pride that's there and the laziness that's there. And I want to grow in this matter of prayer along with you. But we've seen the example of Jesus Christ and His prayer life. And let that inspire you and encourage you. Don't let that discourage you and say, well, I could never pray like Jesus does, so this is just a lost cause. No, Jesus wants us to take courage in His prayers and to see our Father as a Heavenly Father who welcomes us as His children to come and talk with Him. We're going to learn more about prayer together. And I hope that you'll be encouraged. I hope that you'll just this week ask God to maybe open your eyes to how you can grow in prayer and what you can take away and how you can begin to practice a life of prayer, how we as a church can become a people of prayer, how our families can practice prayer, how our couples can join together in prayer. So let's just pray together this morning. And the men are going to come forward as we get ready to take our offering, but let's just pray that God will grow us in this matter of prayer, as we've seen it even in the example and life of Jesus today. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank You for this time, and we thank You for the prayer life of Jesus Christ. Thank You that You listened to His prayers. You even at times spoke audibly from heaven in response to His prayers, saying, You are My beloved Son. With You I'm well pleased. We know that it was only because of His prayers and Your answers to His prayers that He overcame temptation, that He chose the right disciples, that He suffered and bled and died and had victory over sin and over death. We thank You for His prayers. Thank You even how we see the answers to those prayers as we look to the lives of the apostles and how You grew them and matured them and used them in mighty ways. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to follow the example of our Lord. Help us, Lord, to be more diligent to pray privately. Help us to be more eager to pray publicly. Lord, help us to have a natural reflex to want to pray before we make decisions. Help us to pray humbly, but also to pray boldly and persistently and powerfully, because You are a powerful God. And thank You that in Your mystery and in Your providence, You choose to use our prayers to accomplish great things in this world. Make First Southern Baptist Church of Yucca Valley a church of prayer. Make us, Lord, a people of prayer. Make us like a nuclear power plant that is generating power for the gospel and for the kingdom, that You would do great things as a result of our prayers. And Lord, it's not because of anything we do or anything we say. It is only because of Your grace and Your Spirit who lives inside of us. Lord, thank You for how You've already answered our prayers over the years. May this be the first fruits of many great things. And I just pray for a revival in our land. I pray that hearts would be turned to You, and I pray if there be any here this morning that don't know Christ, that You would bring them to salvation, that they would look to the cross and find forgiveness of sins. Teach us to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.